Being a parent can be really challenging. Child and Family Resource Network focuses on connecting pregnant parents and those with kids under the age of 5 with free support services to help them on their parenting journey. Everyone deserves someone they can turn to for help with parenting. Visit childandfamilyresourcenetwork.org today.
This show is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network.
Hi, I'm Gerard Carley.
And I'm Niamh Kavanagh.
And you're listening to Agony Rant. How have you been?
I've been good, actually. Yeah, it's been really nice. It's been kind of a nice, relaxed kind of week. It's been, you know, I've been not necessarily feeling like I'm on my holidays, but, you know, it's like I've just been doing enough work, but not so much. You know what I mean? It's nice.
So you're always busy.
I know I am always busy, but I love it. I love that kind of energy.
I did my first preview for the Edinburgh Festival, right? And it was lovely. It sold really well.
Uh-huh. Of course, you're like a sellout everywhere.
Yeah, it sold out. I was thrilled. The show went really well.
Yeah.
And then after the show, I locked myself out of the theatre.
What?
I went out the stage door thinking I was going back into the theatre. I went out the wrong door and realised I was stuck in a lane. It was done. It was over.
It was definitely done now. It wasn't like in between the, like, you know, I was hoping to go back in and do a little bit more.
Oh, God, Niamh.
Encore.
There's no such thing as an encore with a show with me. In fact, nothing annoys me more than when an audience member goes more. It's like, no, I've hit the time that I said I'd do. I need to go to the toilet.
We have very different gigs.
That is the end of my shows.
I actually build encores into mine. I tell everybody it's the last song, and then I tell them if they say more at the end, I'll do another 3 songs. I actually make sure I have 3 encores in every gig, and it works really well, honestly. And I never have to leave the stage. It's amazing.
No, Niamh. Well, God bless your bladder. That is the most difficult bit about getting used to doing, you know, the set that I'm doing for Joanne, which is a half an hour, and then going back to do like an hour and 10 myself. All of a sudden, at half an hour in, my bladder's going, hey, what's going on? Shouldn't we be peeing out all of this Barocca? What's going on?
I can't believe that you're saying God bless your bladder to a woman who's had 2 kids and is in her mid-50s. Like, I mean,
you're American besides.
As long as you don't break the seal. That's all I'm going to say. Don't break the seal. You'll be fine.
I swear to God, that is the thing that you have to remember.
Yeah, I know.
Because those theatres, they're always warm. So beforehand, you're lashing into the water.
And I know.
I've had it so many times, 20 minutes in. And you're like, oh, sweet good God.
It's a killer.
I have another 50 minutes to do.
Can you... I can't believe I'm saying this. But sometimes, you know, during a gig... you might feel that way. Now, if I'm just doing a solo gig, that's a different thing. But sometimes when I'm with the band, maybe there's a solo. And if it's a long enough solo, I know exactly how long it's going to take me to run out and have a wee and back. But it depends on the theatre. Yeah, it depends on where the toilet is. But you don't have that opportunity.
That is absolutely brilliant. Like performers that can do that, I'm very jealous.
You know, the difficulty is if you go in and you get overcommitted. That's not...
Yeah, I know.
You're
sometimes
taking your chance.
You go in and go, oh, this is a bigger job now than I thought it was going to be.
It's a small bit of a Russian roulette. And... Now, my National Treasure status is getting removed even as we speak by my talking about my bladder situation.
I'm going away this week.
Are you?
Because,
yes, of course.
Yeah, to the last scene at the film, which is in Maspalomas, which I'm actually really looking forward to it.
I know, but the shred's looking well.
The shred is not where it should be. You see, instead, like, I had this idea, right, that I would get super fit for going away.
Okay. And I remember.
A lot of people would have used like workouts or gyms.
Okay.
And so I was I'll just use positive thinking.
I was going to say, you use the power of your mind because, you know, my whole life I do that and sometimes it works and sometimes, like now, it doesn't.
Yeah.
Now I actually have to do
the work.
There
are things it's really good for, like, you know, improving self-confidence, believing in yourself. But like if you're trying to like...
lose weight.
Clean up after yourself, lose weight, get fit.
It's not going
to
work.
Really, there's no comparison to actually
doing
the job that's in front of you.
Eat less, move more.
Yeah, exactly.
I know.
So I didn't do it.
Okay.
And so look, we are where we are.
And we talked about the lagging jacket last week. Is that going to be a thing? Although in Maspalomas,
I'm
going to
see if I could wear a sleeping bag. I need something.
I think you look great.
I don't know.
I don't know.
The camera adds 300 pounds.
I tell people that, but that's not true. It's only 10, but it's sufficient to make you feel like a 300 pounds, honestly. Especially if they don't use the kindness angle, you know, the kind angle, you know, the one we like, which is slightly above.
Yeah.
Nobody looks up at somebody.
That keeps happening. People come into gigs and they're in the front row and they're taking a photograph of you and putting it in. She's like, no, please, now stop doing that.
Yeah, but then...
I did a gig during the week with Emma Doran, a comedian. She's very brilliant. She took a photograph of me on my phone backstage and I swear to God...
Did you speak to her about it afterwards?
No idea. I had no idea I could look like that in a photograph.
That is my whole life right there.
I look like my uncle. Who is 30 years older than me. I was just like, have you been absolutely horrified by yourself?
Bro, isn't it amazing how other people are not as kind to you in photographs as you are to yourself?
Oh, completely. Completely.
I've come to terms with that years and years ago. I mean, honestly, for many, many years, even at the height of this is the most beautiful I've ever looked, still people take it from the wrong angle. It's all over for you.
I know.
So I've just had to come to terms with that. So when I see a bad photograph of myself, I just go, that's just a bad angle. It's not the fact that I am,
absolutely,
you know, that's all.
Right.
It's their fault, not yours.
It's 100%. That.
You're still
Thank
gorgeous.
You.
That's
Thank
it.
Thank you. So once I have 100% control over where the cameras are going to be.
Yeah, that's never going to happen, especially not in a movie, right? And to be honest, are you there for the comic element?
No.
Okay.
But I've seen photographs.
Okay. And maybe you are. But that's
I am
exciting.
Not, I'm going, not the sex symbol I thought I was.
You're going to be in a film in Maspalomas. Like, you're going to be in Maspalomas in a film. Sorry, not... You know, sorry.
I mean, the film I could take or leave. Maspalomas though for 3 days in the middle
Hello.
Of July.
I'm getting paid for it. Happy days.
Trill
skinny.
Over
now, don't
moon.
Do the thing. Don't do the Irish thing and go out and put on the baby oil. Like, you
oh,
know.
No, I don't tan. I don't,
Never.
Like, no, I don't, because I literally go on fire. And also, I get this thing, right?
Are you secretly
When I get
ginger?
Sunburned, I get this thing called Hell's Itch. Have you ever got it?
Hell's Itch?
I've never experienced anything like it in my life. It's called Hell's Itch.
Hell's
And
itch?
It's like when I get sunburned, I get this really bad itch. Like, it's absolutely unbearably itchy. And then I scratch it, and that makes it more itchy, but also you're scratching sunburn.
Oh my gosh.
It is horrendous. I read about it online. Like, people have thrown themselves out windows and everything because of it. Because they,
I'm not sure
just,
I can let you go
unbearable.
Away. You can't go away then.
It's actually
never
so,
stand the sun.
What I do is apparently there's two things to solve it. Right, one is a boiling hot shower, because apparently, right,
okay.
This
okay.
is the science bit. You can't feel heat and itch. Whatever way your nerves work, you can't feel both of those at the same time.
Okay.
And the other thing I think that works is tea tree oil. So that's why I don't tan. I don't tan.
Okay.
That's why I'm always pasty. That's yeah. how I have this, like, it's my sexy blend into the wall vibe. Did you see the story about the Spice Girls?
Which one now? Because there's usually a few.
There's a story about Spice Girls this week. Sport, or what's her face?
What's her face?
Ginger.
Oh,
is
Jerry Horner.
Jerry. Yeah, Jerry okay. Horner.
Horner. Well, she's married. I don't know what her name is. Jerry. She's married anyway. She's got a new name.
Jerry Halliwell Horner.
Yeah.
She is turning 50.
Okay.
Right? And she has invited all the Spice Girls to her birthday party. Right? So all Spice five Spices will be together.
Okay.
So what's her name? The one that can't sing.
Are we talking about Posh?
Probably
here?
Be a bit more specific. Posh.
Right.
Well, the one that didn't go back in for the last tour.
Yeah, but she doesn't do very much.
No,
with
she
hasn't
like,
done it for years. She has
just,
a life.
Yeah, anyone can just
she's
pop
married
a hip
to David
and
Beckham.
Point.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, you wouldn't be leaving that alone.
No, not for long.
Riding
anyway.
On your mates.
Don't bring his name into disrepute. He might not do that.
But anyway, Jerry has invited them all to her birthday party because she wants them all to perform.
No, stop. Stop.
They're all going to perform.
This, my whole life is flashing before me here now because, honestly, I...
Isn't that so mean?
This happens to me a lot.
Of course it does.
Now, don't get me wrong. I never mind doing a song because I grew up in a sing-song house, right, as we know. And it was my job to sing, you know. And I'm very aware that when people, you know, there is that element of they want you to have an old song. Give us an old song, Niamh. And because I grew up in that environment... I'm a good girl and I just automatically go, grand, I'll sing. But actually, there was one particular time, I'll never forget it, even thinking about it now makes me feel slightly ill. And I don't even know why I reacted as violently as I did, but I really did. I did. Inside. I wasn't violent.
Did you flip a table?
No. I wanted to. I was so horrendously upset by it. I can't even tell you. I was invited to this party, and when I arrived, and I can't even tell you why I went, because I didn't really, I knew the people, but I didn't know them well. I was kind of surprised they invited me, but I thought, you know, I'll go, because it's not often I'm free. You know, this is the thing.
Yeah,
when you suggested this topic, I was laughing. I was saying, the only parties I ever go to are work, because, you know, I'm usually working at them. And if I'm not, you know, or else I rock up late and everybody's pissed, you know. And then I have to drive them all home. That kind of tends to be how parties work for me. They're not, you know, because when people have parties, I'm always working. You know, I'm always gigging.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, I don't have casual parties very often. And so I rocked up to this party anyway, because it was just, I was free and I went. And I realized I didn't actually know hardly anybody else there for a start, which is already awkward. And then it was very obvious that not only did they want me to sing a song, but they wanted me to do a whole set. You know, as in, I was the entertainment. And for once in my life, I didn't even do one song.
That's terrible now.
Because I was so horrified by it. I was like, maybe it was an element of stage fright. I have no idea. And I was mortified, because, so I actually left. And I never do that.
I think that there is somebody that takes a liberty. There's somebody that asks for a favour.
Yeah.
And then there's somebody that just takes the piss.
Yeah, well, you're definitely in the last category there. Because, you know, to be honest with you, I don't mind, because I know people sometimes want it. But they're usually very polite and they ask me if I mind, especially the musicians. The musicians are always very respectful. Mind you, they're usually white-faced. In the early stages, they were always very white-faced because they thought they were going to have to play In Your Eyes, which is not an easy song to say. And I, you know, and then I go, Mustang Sally in a sea, good luck to you. And I don't mind singing for people. I don't, you know, I really don't, because I am very relaxed about it because I love singing. But the problem is, it's like you're a waiter and somebody invites you to a party and hands you a feckin' tray when you walk in the door. And I couldn't get out quick enough. Like, I couldn't.
That's
the worst.
Really mean.
And I don't have many nights off, Road. Like, you know, if I want to go to the party, I want to have the party. You know,
exactly.
And I'm fun sometimes.
Yes, totally.
I can be fun at a party without singing.
I remember once being asked to a party. Like, I'll tell you how it happened, right? Mm-hmm. I did stand up on, there was a TV show years ago called Craig Doyle Tonight.
I remember,
I think
Craig
it was
Doyle.
Called.
Yeah.
And they had like a stand-up spot on a Saturday evening.
Yeah.
And I did it. And then I got a call during the week from my agent that it was a some poor woman who had made the mistake of laughing at me on the television.
Okay.
Was having an 80th birthday, I think. And her family decided that they would surprise her.
With you.
By having me to stand up, like the same material I just done on the television, at an 80th birthday party.
And you would have picked a certain amount, a type of material for like television.
Yeah, I mean, it was grand. It was the same. It was all good. But it was just to do 10 minutes.
Right, okay.
So they were paying me and I was like, okay, fine, I'll do it. Like, I mean, that's the sort of, like, you'd run a mile from that. Not a hope.
That's a, I'm busy that night.
But this was even a, I had to pretend I was somebody's, one of the grandkids' girlfriend or boyfriend. I had to sit at the party for
an hour and a half.
And then it was like, we've got a surprise. And she...
She didn't even know who you were, I'd say, did she?
Had no idea who I was. She had just, the whole time, was like, what is he doing? What's happening? Like, it was...
It's like when I was...
The worst shit show.
Like, I was 21 and somebody booked a Strippin' Vicar.
Yeah.
You remember I told you about that?
Yeah.
That's exactly it. That moment of, what the hell are you doing? Who are you?
She had no idea who it was and she had no idea why I was there. And she looked mildly annoyed that I was talking about my dead rabbit.
And even more annoyed when she realised that was her present.
Yeah. I mean, and also they'd set it up like, oh, we've got a big surprise. And He was just like, nigga, really overselling this. Because this...
She didn't even know who you were.
No. Attention Agony Rants listeners, I am going to be going on tour later on in the year and early next year with my show Glamour Hammer, and I will be going all around Ireland and the UK. The dates on sale at the moment are Portlaoise, Dundalk, Limerick, which is sold out, Galway, Belfast, Clonakilty, Waterford, Wexford, Sligo, Cork. I'll be at the Everyman in January. My Liberty Hall shows are sold out, but we've just put on at Vicar Street, which is very much not sold out. So,
not just yet.
So come along, we'd love to see you there.
How do I get tickets, Garrick?
You can get tickets, Niamh, by asking me.
I know.
But all of those other people, they can buy them on GarrickFarrelly.com. I'm not a fan of parties. Like, I have to say I don't like them. But the one... Like, I mean, I like it when it's friends, like close friends.
Yeah.
But when you're going, these big trundling monsters that people have for their birthday, I'm just not a fan. But the type of party that I absolutely hate is a sing song. When a sing song starts.
Oh, you see, I love a sing song.
Oh my God. Do you know what kills me, right? It's always, I always find that the times that because I used to do a lot of musicals and shows like years ago.
Okay.
And those parties always turned into a sing song. It was always, shh, shh.
Oh yeah, it's like an audition process.
And then somebody would sing that bloody version of Somewhere, you know, the like Somewhere Over the Rainbow, the 45 minute version by Eva Cassidy.
Oh.
It's like something like, come on, come on, somewhere, you're come on over the rainbow, way up high, don't fuck up the party. And then it always leads to the exact same conversations. Who sang that again? Eva Cassidy. What happened to her? She died.
Oh yeah.
Like, you're just like, God almighty, we were having a bit of crack 15 minutes ago.
Well, now, you see, my thing with sing-songs is they should be lively. They should be. I grew up in a sing-song house. Whenever two or more people were gathered, a sing-song occurred, right? That's the way it was. And the wonderful thing about our sing-songs was majority of people could not sing, but it didn't matter. We didn't care.
Now, Niamh, that always matters as far as I'm concerned.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. It's so much more fun. Let's be honest, like karaoke, it's so much more fun if the person can't sing. You don't want an audition piece in karaoke. You want someone living their best life in the worst vocal situation they've ever been in. That's what you want.
There was a trend years ago. Do you remember when everyone had those karaoke machines?
Oh.
Mm. I remember going to a couple of parties where someone would put the karaoke machine on and then someone would have a go.
Yeah.
And then nobody else would sing.
Yeah.
So we'd all spend the time watching these backing tracks of like Reach for the Stars or something. And, oh. And people just go, hmm. Mm-hmm. Just watching it, I'm like, this is the worst part.
You went to a lot of parties.
Like, I know I'm not like, I for someone that doesn't like parties, I mean, this is pretty bad. And the bar is low for me.
Yeah, but I gigged all the time. I had this thought in my head that people were having these amazing parties everywhere. I'm so glad I was working that all the time now. I feel so much better.
But like, it was like, I think that with house parties particularly, they have the potential to go really badly wrong.
Yeah, but they also are the more fun ones, I think, house parties.
They're more fun than the big function rooms.
Yeah, because there's an expectation in the big function room, isn't there? And you judged it based on the sausage rolls. I mean, if there wasn't sausages, forget it. Leave the house.
Yeah,
the
I've vegetarian. Been here for 4 hours. They need to start wheeling out some goujons or I'm out the door.
The vegetarian option is wafer thin ham. You know what I mean? Like, it's not, you know.
Do you know what? Nothing turns my stomach more than a lukewarm mini quiche.
Just a mini quiche.
Yeah. Or do you know those prawn tails. You eat something that has been lying
no
against a whole lot of those prawn tails that have been thrown back.
I have a
out
rule.
Of pure boredom.
I love a sing song, but what would your song be if it's not Eva Cassidy then?
Oh God.
Reach for the Stars, clearly you've mentioned it at least twice.
Karaoke would be like a prayer. Because the thing about it is, it's great. Like, Madonna doesn't sing a lot of that song, like, because she doesn't have a note in her head. Like, it's the gospel choir.
Oh, yeah.
So it sounds great. So you can kind of sound good, but when you call my name, it's just like.
You're a better singer than Madonna.
No, that's not the compliment now that you think. No. Do you remember she was on the Eurovision and she sang that song that essentially sounded like, everyone's a fruit and nutcase? It's like, Madonna, this is not the platform for this. Get up there and do Express Yourself or Vogue.
Did you ever think that you would use that in a sentence? Madonna sang on the Eurovision.
It was so weird, wasn't
it? Yeah, it is a weird one.
Also, she had an eye patch.
Yeah, well.
For somebody that has fallen so many times on stage, I thought an eye patch was a very big risk.
To be fair, she didn't fall. She like, her robe got caught, wasn't it? Was it the hood? They pulled her, they yanked her back by the throat.
There's videos you can watch on YouTube of her, like...
Always falling. Is she
falling? She's like Bambi on an ice rink. So, the Spice Girls... have informed our show, and we thought, what are your worst parties? Let us know. And you really did. Some of you have been some pretty bad ones.
I feel a bit better about my life actually reading some of these.
I know. We'll call this one Tom. He says, so back 5 years or so ago, in the early days of my relationship, my boyfriend's friend invited us to a party in his house. I thought, oh, a party, great. I was wrong. We arrived on over and thought, gosh, we must be early. We weren't. The two of us, the guy, his housemate, her mom, dad, sister and her boyfriend were the party. A motley crew. To make it worse, the boyfriend brought his guitar. I'd be cutting strings. And played and sang to us all for a few hours.
Oh my God.
Oh. And the icing on this self-indulgent prison cell party cake was the finger food. Tinfoil trays of overbaked Aldi party food.
And no dips.
I have to say, Nynaeve.
No dips,
nothing offends me more than no dip.
No dip.
Now, I have to say...
what's your dip of
choice?
We
can talk about it. Ketchup.
Ketchup, okay.
It's an easy one. Heinz. Or garlic bread. Or garlic mayo.
No, you and I...
Oh yeah, you're not a garlic mayo.
Oh no,
But I got a sausage roll this morning and there was no ketchup with it. And I went through all the presses in the Head Stuff kitchen, there was no ketchup. Well, there'll be ketchup there then the next time because I'm buying it. I just can't, there's nothing more upsetting than a dry. There's nothing more upsetting than something being dry when you want it to be wet.
Okay. I'm not gonna comment.
Needless to say, the party didn't last.
No, definitely
not. Awful. But I have to say, like, I know we're probably in different sides of the camp on this, Nynaeve, but if you're going out to a party and you're thinking, I'm going to bring my guitar, have a think.
No, well...
Think on.
Listen, my husband plays guitar, right? And I know for a fact when my mother says, you'll be coming to this party, you better not show up without the guitar.
Yeah.
The only difference is... The etiquette is the problem, right? The problem is, just because you bring a guitar doesn't mean you should be using it, and it's not a feckin' concert,
exactly.
Right? If the guitar is required and the sing-song occurs, that should be the crack. And precious few people understand that dynamic.
They really don't.
So we bring the guitar in the boot of the car, but it doesn't come out unless...
Is there sing-song rules? Like...
Yeah.
Is there, if you've sung two songs, should it be like, you're done now?
Oh, without a doubt.
Even if it's the end of the sing song.
And ideally not in succession.
Yeah.
The noble call comes in, and anybody who's ever been old school, noble call is sometimes you call the next person who sings and they have to do their thing. When I was young, that was a thing. And the other thing is, you don't sing somebody else's song. So if you know that other person only sings Summertime, for God's sake, don't sing it.
There's
an element to that. Anyway, so Antoinette, it says, I once went to a children's party where they had hired a creepy crawly / lizards snakes man without telling anyone going.
Oh my God.
And I genuinely thought I was going to have a heart attack. I was terrified. This is you. Like, this is your worst
That's
nightmare.
That's my worst.
Isn't it?
God, imagine almighty.
Rocking up. I mean, to be fair, I'd leave. Are you going to be at the kids' party anyway?
No. What I would do is, I'd go and I'd see the van. Because I'd imagine people like that have like a big spider on a van. And I would say, well, I'm not stopping. I'm going to look for parking. I'm just going to go.
Clearly.
That is...
So instead of...
Doing something like that and not telling anyone.
Yeah, no, that's not fair. Especially with kids. So because
I would lose my life.
No. Although part of me wants to see that.
I remember doing something in the Sugar Club. I was emceeing some event and there was a guy there who had...
snakes, probably.
No, he didn't have snakes. And because I saw him and I knew what he did.
Right.
Because I'd seen him on television and stuff. And I said, do you have anything with you?
Mm.
And he was like, oh, I've got a tarantula. I was like, don't, no. So because I was emceeing it and I was going to have to talk to him, and I was like, I don't want to see anything. Like, and when I finished talking to him, then I left.
And then he got.
They did the thing, and he showed all the stuff, and then
somebody gave you the red flag. Stage.
Yeah. So I cannot control myself when I see stuff like that. I just.
So when you went back to emceeing, what if they'd gone? Psst, psst.
Oh no! They knew better.
Listen, we lost one when we were on.
Well, I'm sorry. You've lost two.
Part of me would have been all
tarantula.
Over that.
You see, I think kids would be grand because I think they don't know to be afraid of that stuff unless they're told to be afraid of it by their uncle that's losing his shit in the kitchen. Brian says, agree with what you said about fancy dress. It makes everything worse.
Oh, right,
yes,
okay.
I said that in a previous episode.
We did. A few times I've done a fancy dress thing. I think my first thing that I remember is in Aer Lingus was a fancy dress party. And I went, because I have no imagination, I went as a French maid, right? Because that's what I could have. It was probably the first costume in the shop. I'm not going to lie. But Ardlo Hanlon was working with me that year. And he actually turned up dressed as a red box. It was brilliant.
A red box?
Yeah, he basically had a cardboard box that he painted red, and he had a red bobble hat and red tights on. It's the best thing I've ever seen.
Oh, brilliant.
I have a photograph somewhere, like a small photograph. I have no imagination. But then my niece decided for her 21st, she was going to have a fancy dress. And I mean, she dressed up as Audrey Hepburn at a breakfast at Tiffany's. She looked amazing. Everybody really embraced it. It was really fun. But I had the flu. And I'd been really sick all over the Christmas, and I rocked, but I really didn't want to miss her 21st. Okay. So I thought I felt well enough to do it. So I got dressed as Jack Sparrow, put the makeup up, and did the whole thing. I had everything. And I literally, my husband drove me down, and I was asleep the entire way down on whatever medication I was on to get there. I arrived in, and it was brilliant because my brother-in-law was dressed as a stormtrooper and everything. It was amazing. Like, and
fantastic.
Everybody was really embracing it. I rocked in as Jack Sparrow, the whole enchilada, right? And I stood for a photograph, and for the rest of the night, I looked like I was drunk in the corner. So I stayed in character the whole night because I was so sick. So not the best of parties, but fancy dress only works if you committed to it, and everyone's committed to it.
I absolutely hate it.
Do you?
I absolutely hate fancy dress because... For me, fancy dress is, I always think it's what somebody does when they panic about a party.
Okay.
We're going to have a fancy dress because it means there'll have to be a better atmosphere. But it's not. It's all just work. It's so much work. It's so much expense. I remember when I was living in a shared house, one of the girls was having her birthday and it was fancy dress. I went as Bishop Eamon Casey.
Oh, well, that's an easy
So
one.
I was dressed as a bishop and had a baby attached to me.
At least half of the people in that room wanted.
Yeah, I had like a you know those like baby pouch things.
Love it.
But this completely exemplified what I think fancy dress is, right?
Right.
One of the other girls I lived with decided she was going to go as Marge Simpson.
Okay.
She was upstairs painting herself yellow until about 9 o'clock that night.
Okay. Yeah.
She came downstairs, the big reveal, dressed as Marge Simpson. She was yellow.
Did everybody know who
she had,
was?
Like her hair. Oh no, it was really clear.
Right, okay.
She did look great. Like she had her hair, like this big thing built onto
the
top of her
head. And then she had a green strapless dress.
Okay. The hair was like 2 foot tall. She came down the stairs. She walked into the kitchen. She hit the hair on the top of the archway of the door. So then she took the hair off because it was too tall to have on. So now she was just someone that was painted yellow.
To hear.
Yeah. So then she looked kind of awkward. So after 45 minutes, she went upstairs and started taking it all off.
Oh, okay.
Like,
we have World Book Day for kids in primary school, right up the north. And I think it happens everywhere. But anyway, this particular day, Tom decided he was going to get dressed up as that well-known literary character, Bart Simpson. They always tell you about this thing like 5 minutes before you need to have them ready. So in the middle of November, I had him dressed in a little t-shirt, pair of blue shorts. And I painted him yellow, right? And he had blonde hair, so I stuck it up. But, I mean, it didn't stay up because I'm not a good hairdresser, right? So it's like, but anyway, during that process, I sent him into school like that, and that was grand. And then I got a call that my other son had to go to hospital because he had hurt his hand. And this is on the back of he'd broken his teeth and his arm. he had a small fracture in his arm that year because of rugby and different sporting and things, right? So this is a third injury in the space of a few months, which is basically a conversation. So I rocked into the hospital to see if he was okay. And now he just staved it, as they call it, which is basically just sprained it. But I had to go in to the community workers thing to say, is everything okay at home, Jack, right? With the other child in a pair of shorts and a t-shirt in the middle of the winter, painted yellow. And I'm going, I am a good mother, I swear to God. I don't know how my children weren't taking off me
that
day.
They'd probably get out and need family. She's a terrible mother.
I'm a terrible mother.
Not only is one of them always having accidents, she brought the other little fella in a t-shirt and shorts and him with liver failure.
I know. That's exactly what it looked like.
Jack said, once went to a Eurovision party hosted by one of my friends and his new fella. We didn't know the new guy and he kept getting annoyed at us for slagging off the entries. Part, and then in brackets, most of the fun of Eurovision is taking the piss.
Okay. Eurovision parties, you're on my ground now.
Yeah.
Because I may not have been at a lot of them because I don't go to them because it's a bit weird. It's like, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, the thing is, the point is that you go as Eurovision. And my niece and my sister have a Eurovision party every year and they dress up. They dress up as characters. So a few of them have been me at some point. Right? But clearly, but they absolutely do it brilliantly. It is amazing what they do every year. My favourite way is to sit there with a big bowl of popcorn and throw popcorn at the screen and it's annoying me.
There's nothing worse than when there's a bit of crack going on and then all of a sudden one person is the police. You're like, no.
Move on.
Hopefully that didn't last.
No,
that's
won't.
All we can hope for, Jack.
It won't last.
No. See, that's it. If you have to pick your friends or your fella, there's a certain age when you pick the fella, but a lot of the times you pick the friends.
Yeah, you do. Because let's be honest, nothing worse.
Yeah, it's nothing worse than a dry shite. We are pausing for a moment to remind you that Agony Rants is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network. If you would like to support the show and us, you can do so by subscribing to Headstuff Plus over on headstuffpodcasts.com. In return for that, you will get bonus content from us and from all of the shows on the Headstuff Podcast Network, including this one.
It's The World According to Wikipedia.
This is a show about the inner workings of Wikipedia. It is hosted by Rebecca and Fanula, and it's absolutely brilliant. They do a deep dive each episode into the inner workings of Wikipedia, the people behind it, and how it has become the force that it is. So have a little listen.
The World According to Wikipedia is a podcast that dons an old-fashioned diving suit to take a deep dive into the depths of Wikipedia with your intrepid hosts, Rebecca and Fanula.
Each episode, we will talk to someone from the Wikimedia community, exploring topics such as harnessing the viral meme potential of Wikipedia articles, why librarians are Wikipedia's biggest fans, how Wikimedians created the largest photography competition in the world ever, and why do some Wikimedians love soft toys so much?
Subscribe on your podcatcher of choice and follow us on Twitter at world_Wikipedia.
Our problem this week.
No problem.
Hi, Garode and Eve. Love the podcast. It's the best thing about Mondays. Came for Neve, stayed for Garode setting things on fire. I'm right there with you holding a blowtorch. Anyway, I'm having a problem I'd like some advice on, please. Mm-hmm. I'm a 38-year-old gay man and last year I met a guy online that has turned into my first proper relationship. I was a nightmare in my 20s and early 30s. Long story. Oh, look, we all were.
Yeah.
But this guy is based in the Midlands and we see each other every 2 weeks. All is going very well in the right direction.
Oh, that's nice.
That's lovely.
That's really nice. Yeah,
congratulations. Before he met me, he had been in a long-term relationship with a woman, which had ended the year before, and he had moved out, got his own apartment. They have 3 children together, 13, 7 and 5, so they alternate weekends with the children. Mm-hmm. Before Christmas, he decided to come out to the important people in his life, the 13-year-old, his ex, his parents, siblings, friends, co-workers, etc. All went very smoothly, delighted for him, accepting him. It's, after all, it's 2022. He told them about me and how we'd been getting to know each other and spending time together as well. Okay, so that's good.
That's all very positive.
All very positive. Now the time is coming where he wants me to meet his children. Run!
Grow, read the rest of it before you get involved in this.
Oh God.
No judgment.
I have no experience with children whatsoever. I'm never around children. I never interact with them. I have no friends with children. I work with people who have babies and toddlers, but not children of this age. So I'm panicking about having to meet these kids. I have a straight friend in a similar situation whose advice was talk to them about normal stuff, school, sport, video games. Sport, video games. I'm a gay man. My life revolves around Eurovision, Real Housewives, and getting drunk watching old Danny Minogue performances on YouTube. Now, I have to say, I'm pausing for a moment to say that if you haven't done a Danny Minogue deep dive of Danny Minogue interviews and Danny Minogue performances.
Really?
It's worth a watch.
It's a thing.
Her interview with Jonathan Ross, where he was a bit of a dick to her, fascinating. That's the tip for this week, a Danny Minogue deep dive. Well done. Well done.
Okay.
I know a little about what these children are into and their dad has done a lot to prepare me for it. And obviously he'll be there too. But I still expect it to be awkward and uncomfortable. In the past, I've joked about sending them to boarding school in England or America or just outright selling them all together. But it's just to mask the fact that I'm so nervous to meet them. I expect these children will be in my life for a long time. Oh,
honestly.
That's so lovely. I'd like to be able to dance with their dad at their wedding, so I'd like this first meeting to be memorable for all the right reasons. Any advice you would give would be great. What would you do in this situation? Thanks. And I think he said to call him Mark.
Okay. So let's call me Mark. There's so much lovely in this, right?
And it's
actually
so lovely.
I'm really pleased that this is all going well, and I completely get your fear, right? This has nothing to do with being a gay man or anything. Meeting new, your family, your relationships family is always fraught. And now you bring it into the fact that it's children and you've no real experience with that. Like, listen. You're already on the good stuff, you know.
Yes.
They already have sport, video games and school from other people. They don't need that.
Exactly. What I would say is, right, don't put too much pressure on yourself.
Mm.
Because the one thing you're saying here that I think is not a red flag, but it's just a thing to watch. And that is, you're saying is that you want the first meeting to be memorable. Now, what I'd say is that you've absolutely no control over that.
No, none.
Especially
zero.
With kids. Because, I mean, you could go in there, one of them could have diarrhea. Like, you don't know what's going to happen. So
you have a high expectation of kids.
Like, I would say that you're not initially going to get where you want to go with these kids.
No.
This is going to be one day where they say, this is Mark.
Yeah.
And we're a couple. And
clearly,
let's do something nice.
If your partner has already prepared you, right?
Yeah, and them.
And he'll already have prepared them. So actually, they're going to be nervous too. And the wonderful thing about recognizing that you're all nervous together, it's okay to say, I'm a little nervous because, you know, I'm very excited to meet you, but I don't know a lot of kids. Kids love that.
Yeah.
They absolutely love it. So you don't need to be all prepared perfect when you meet them. You can just, kids have a way of getting past that.
Yeah,
they really do. And don't be worried about whether you're into what they're into or not, because they'd be quick. Just ask them what they're into, because kids love to talk. And sometimes, and especially if they're boys, half the time they're over you like 5 seconds after.
Totally.
Anyway, like they have nothing to say to you.
And sometimes what can happen as well is, I find this with my nieces and nephew, is that my go-to is that I always go in and I go, oh, I'll talk to them.
Yeah.
But sometimes they actually don't want to talk.
No, exactly.
Like, they
right.
don't want to answer. Like, you're saying like, how's school? And they go, good, fine.
You will not get to know them immediately. You're going to have to don't try that, because they hate that. They hate try hard.
Don't expect too much, because I think that's the one thing. You're right.
Yeah.
The kids can sniff a try hard out at 50 paces.
No, just, you know, don't put a lot of pressure on it. It's just, you know, I know you want to, because obviously you care a great deal about your partner. And I think that's really beautiful. And this is your first relationship. Don't stress it. I mean, honestly, like meeting a new person, you have to kind of gauge who they are and how they're going to be.
Yeah.
But don't discount just because you don't like sport or you don't like video games. Kids will either be chatty or they're not, or they're going to be into what you're doing. I think it'll be great. You know, just don't put a lot of pressure on it.
I would say, if you want to get to know them, though, I would say don't do this thing of I see them once a month. Because then you're just the person that they see once a month.
Yeah.
And they get used to things being a bit distant.
Yeah.
I would say, like, you know,
I get in there.
Yeah, get in there and
have
make
the
it,
crack.
Yeah, also make it that when they're around you, they have fun. They know something good's coming.
Yeah.
Just so, the first few times.
But it doesn't have to be buying. And it can be going to the park and be, you know, you'd be surprised the things that they like to do. They can go and do the stuff. And if your partner's already told you what that is, find something fun to do that they can do it all together.
Yeah.
Take the pressure off yourself a bit.
And also, you don't have to be good at any of those things.
No.
Like, you don't have to be good at video games to play them.
I
mean,
no.
There's nothing
better.
Kids like more than beating an adult.
Yeah, no, 100%.
So let them, like, you know, play a video game and be terrible.
Yeah.
They will, there's nothing they will like
they
more.
They will love you.
But also, if you, like, I think if you ask them how to, like, show me how to play this, I've never played it.
Just show an interest in them. Okay, kids love to be able to, seriously, like, anybody, if somebody says, what about you? Who are you? You know, it'll come. They're going to feel the same about you. I think they're going to be nervous about you too.
Yeah, totally. You know? I think as well, though, like, the problem with kids is, and I always forget this, is don't take what they say as if it's an adult saying it to you.
No, it's not. Never.
Yeah, it's just kids have language and they don't know what, they don't know how to use it. They're firing
brutal.
Off machine guns there and they don't realise what they're doing.
They're brutal with it, yeah.
So just, I think, a bit of regularity with them.
You know, sweets are good too.
Sweets always. Like, sweets are good. There's an awful lot to be said for buying them.
Yeah.
You know, like, buy their affection. It's ice cream.
Yeah, no, yeah, and it doesn't have to be big fancy things.
Computer games.
Lego's great, though. I have to say, despite whether you like Lego or not, if you put Lego out, you know, people do make it. They can't help themselves.
Yeah, exactly. And also, do you know what I would say? Top tip. If you're playing with a kid, don't play with them on the floor.
No, never.
It's too awkward. Because you're down there on the floor. And, like, you're sitting on the floor. It's awkward. They're comfortable on the floor.
Yeah.
But it just feels weird.
Yeah,
like, I've noticed that anytime I've ever, like, got down on the floor to play with a kid, which is not often. I'm always just like, oh God, this is awkward. I keep shifting. It feels eggy. So do something at the table.
Do something.
Even colouring or something.
Colouring's great.
Yeah.
Actually, even, it's amazing. Like, even old school really works. Cards. Play Snap. Uno is a great game because anybody can figure out that. You know, cards are great.
That's a good idea.
Cards are great. Honestly, this is a first meeting and everything going the way you want it, it's like, it's going to take time.
And if you're not a kids person.
Yeah.
Here's a top tip.
Okay.
Don't correct them at all.
Oh, no.
Like,
you're not there.
You're not the discipline.
No.
Like, even though you might think, oh, they're being,
no.
Yeah, they're running around or they're being rough at each other. That's not your place. It's like, anything you're concerned about, say it to their dad.
Yeah.
Because you have to be Mr. Fun Bobby. And you don't have to be Fun Bobby to be Fun Bobby, if you know what I mean.
No, I know what you mean.
You are the fun guy. You are bringing the ice cream or the sweets or the, you know, and you could, if you want to buy them a little present, not a big present, a wrapped up thing.
No.
But just like a, lovely to meet you, I bought you that computer game or that whatever.
Bit of crack. Yeah, no, I know you're right. That's all the right things. And that's true for anybody meeting any child first. They love all that. And you know, you don't have to be their dad in 5 minutes. Like, that's not the way it works.
Exactly.
You know, it's just not the way.
Like you said, you're there for the long haul.
I love everybody's favourite auntie. I was always everybody's favourite auntie. I loved it because I like kids. They're just little people.
Yeah, but the other side of it is, like, she likes kids.
I do.
I wouldn't be on them.
I know.
To be honest. So what I would say
but
is
sometimes
that
kids like
it. It is possible.
Sometimes kids it like it.
Yeah, I know.
They
exactly.
Do.
But it is possible to, like, get on with kids even if you just find that. If you find that difficult, it is possible. It's just you've got to, like, extend
just
yourself a little bit more.
Listen, I'm nervous meeting new people all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. And I have to do it as my job. Like, but I realize that they're probably about the same. So don't stress it. You know, honestly, don't stress it. And you'll make mistakes. Laugh about it. Tell them you're nervous. But it doesn't really matter. The point is, they're just meeting you. So just be you.
And the other thing to remember about this meeting is it's not the time that you're spending with them.
No.
That you're creating this impression of yourself.
No.
It's 5 minutes where they're focused on you.
Yeah.
Because
let's be honest, the rest of the time they're in their own heads.
Yeah, they're off playing with their stuff, they're playing with each other, they're playing with the thing you bought them or whatever it is. It's just this initial meeting where you have to, I guess,
get over the first bit
and prove to them that you're interested in them and you like them and that you're not some cranky, moody person who's going to come in sit in the corner and ignore them.
And kids don't deal in, this is the rest of our lives. This is the next 5 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Exactly.
No, look, honestly, I think you're going to be fine, Mark. You're already, I know by the way you're set up, you'll be fine. It's natural to be nervous about meeting them because especially it means a lot to you. But honestly, you'll be fine. I promise you.
If you've done any thinking about this,
yeah,
you're going to be fine.
Yeah, 100%.
The slightest bit of effort shows that you're on the right track.
Yeah.
I think if you were somebody that was just going, well, they can take me or leave me, that's dead in the water.
No, but you should be you. And that's important.
Yeah, exactly.
Because, you know, they could be Eurovision fans. You don't know that. They might know who won in 1993. Without their dad telling them.
They were born in 2009, but that's the...
I mean, tragically, the 38-year-old will just about be aware... But you know what I'm saying? You just had to be yourself, Mark. Seriously, I know by everything you've written in this, they're going to love you. And you don't, but you don't need to stress about it. Seriously, we definitely want an update. And if you make something out of Lego, we want to see that.
Totally. Absolutely. Do you know the other one, the other thing that's really good?
Do you love Lego?
No.
Okay.
Not if, I did Lego once recently. Someone left Lego at the stage door for me.
Oh, yeah.
And I did it and I enjoyed it. And I decided I was never going to do it again.
Okay, be very clear about that or else everybody's going to say, thank God we can buy a road Lego.
No, game over.
Don't be stressing about talking about things that they like. Just ask them what they like and then they'll tell you. Or exactly. Not, as you case. You might get a few grunts, and don't stress that because that's my whole life right there.
Okay, so send us an update. We want an update.
Yes, we'd love it.
The best of luck.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for listening.
I know, another lovely day.
Another lovely one.
I know.
If you want to get in touch, agonyrants@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. If you want to subscribe to Headstuff Plus, you can do so.
And it would be great for us.
And it would be absolutely fantastic. I know. We'd absolutely love that.
I know, because there'll be a review soon, a performance review, and we'll have to show that people like care about us. Or they'll make us stop.
People care whether we live or die. So,
they might make us stop, and we don't want that, sure, we don't.
No, not at all. Thank you so much and we'll chat to you next week.
Bye.
This show is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network, a hub for the creative and the curious. Shows are produced in association with Headstuff and the Podcast Studios Dublin. Find out more or become a member at headstuffpodcasts.com.
Being a parent can be really challenging. It's normal to feel uncertain about whether you're doing the right things to raise healthy and happy children. That's why Child and Family Resource Network focuses on connecting pregnant parents and those with kids under the age of 5 with free support services to help them build confidence in their parenting journey. Everyone deserves to have someone they can turn to for support with parenting. Visit childandfamilyresourcenetwork.org today.
Heard my little sis is buying a car. You'll need my secret guide.
Gross, no way. I already used Capital One Auto Navigator.
I bet your credit score
wasn't impacted at all, so ha. I got my real rate and monthly payment, had an amazing test drive at the dealership, and made the purchase.
Taking the easy way out. That's so you.
Still not getting it. That's so you. Capital One, what's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/AutoNavigator.